Welcome to Dollars and Cents, the program that tries to help your dollars make a little more sense. Dollars and Cents is sponsored by CEFQ, not a bank better. We have three guests today. Antonobi Evans will be along a little later to talk about her medical supply company. Matt Simpson from the Illinois Department of Commerce stopped by our studio. He was in our building this past week for the finance fair that matched lenders with small business owners and entrepreneurs. We start out with Denise Moore, founder and president of the Minority Business Development Center. She is excited about a $200,000 grant from LISC.
We want to thank LISC for awarding this $200,000 grant to the Minority Business Development Center. It was a competitive process, and we were happy to see that the work that we've been doing here in Peoria for almost 10 years is being recognized by the awarding of this three-year grant. This grant will help us to provide staff development, enhance our programming and services. LISC will be providing technical assistance. I definitely want to take this opportunity to thank our program manager, Fred Stewart, for all he did to shepherd this grant request along. I oftentimes am the one who receives all of the acknowledgement, but truly it is a team effort. And in this particular case, Fred Stewart was the quarterback of that team, and he carried it across the line, and we got the points. In this particular case, 200,000 points.
That LISC grant is $200,000 per year for the next 3 years. We want to thank those of you who spent some dollars at the Minority Business Development Center's indoor marketplace that took place on Saturday. People braving the rain to come out and support local business owners and entrepreneurs. Speaking of supporting business owners and entrepreneurs, Matt Simpson from the Illinois Department of Commerce stopped by our studio. He was in our building on Thursday for the finance fair that matched lenders with small business owners and entrepreneurs. You have the one of the longest titles that I know, right? Okay, tell me what it is.
Yeah. African American Business Development Manager in the Illinois Office of Minority Economic Empowerment, which is part of the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
So essentially, my job is to support black businesses throughout the state of Illinois.
Yeah. So last time I talked to you, we were talking about a survey that you conducted. And you were saying that this really shows a few things, not the least of which was that African-American businesses need financial support.
Yes.
And another is that we need to rally around these businesses, because if they are successful, then our society as a whole is economically healthy.
Yes. I really appreciate the opportunity you gave us to shine a light on this survey initiative. We came here to encourage your listeners to participate in the survey, and we had a robust response. We had some data that allows us to be 95% accurate in terms of the outcomes we got in the survey. In April, we brought the data back to Peoria. Here at the Minority Business Development Center, we presented to a group of about 50 community leaders, presented the state of black business in Illinois. And some really amazing information. One of those things was how interested black entrepreneurs are in making a difference in their community by way of business ownership, bringing resources to the community, creating jobs in their community, leaving a legacy for themselves and their family by way of the business. And that's what's so powerful. There's a lot of programming, nonprofit energy that's intended to do some of the things that black business owners want to do through providing products or services. So that was a really powerful outcome.
Yeah, and let me say a couple of things about that, and you tell me if I'm on the right track. Because a lot of times, historically, when you look back over successful African-American communities, Bronzeville,
yes, sir.
Harlem, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Black Wall Street, the one of the main characteristics that these successful Black communities had was they had a robust Black business community district. And I think it's interesting that a lot of times when people start talking about solutions to the Black problem, you know, Black problems in our community, poverty, crime, et cetera, I think it's underreported. I don't think we it is said enough that one of the solutions, one of the keys to overcoming some of those problems is to support Black business development.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I don't think it's like a silver bullet, you know, panacea. All we need to do is just create businesses and all our problems will go away. And that's not what you're saying either.
No.
I think what happens is the nature of leaders stepping up in ways to solve problems in their community translates in many different ways. One of those ways is by way of economic advancement. You know, sometimes it's faith leaders, you know, sharing spiritual knowledge and practices, you know, principles, standards, traditions. Some of it is education, you know, helping sharpen skills. But a major contribution to the stability of a community is business ownership, economics. So you're absolutely right. What happens is a leader who has a product or service works to raise awareness of that product or service and solve people's problems. As a result of that problem being solved, they are compensated. And they can take that compensation and pay for their education, their children's education, buy a house, you know, support their neighbors or neighborhood, whatever they want to do. So you're right, and the business ownership and entrepreneurship is one of the most significant contributions to stability, success, health of any community, including the Black community.
Our radio station, WPNV, is located inside the Minority Business Development Center, and we're in one wing of the building. You were on the other wing, and we kind of dragged you over here to our side, and you were at the finance fair that was being held where a lot of local lenders were introducing themselves to some smaller minority business owners and entrepreneurs. What are your impressions of that?
So it was so exciting to see this happen. In April, I came and presented the findings from the statewide Black Business Survey. And as a result of that presentation, there were some leaders in the room, including Sister Denise Moore. And one of the ideas that came out of that data presentation was, how do we respond to this pressing need for capital? How do we bridge the gap? So in Peoria, the idea was, let's do a Black business financing fair. There was a room full of lenders, local leaders, electeds, people who can make things happen. And Sister Denise Moore organized those individuals to say, let's use this data to say, light a path to success. Our path in Peoria is going to be connecting Black entrepreneurs to financing opportunities. And today, August 24th, there was a Black Business Financing Fair with five lenders, including the state of Illinois' Advantage Illinois program. I want to say 75 to 100 entrepreneurs walked through the doors today to get connected to information. And this is a step towards independence, freedom, success, and solving problems in the Black community.
And one of the things Denise Moore talked about was that it is in the interest of these lenders also that they connect with these entrepreneurs and business owners, because they have to report to the federal government that they are abiding by equity laws. And in Peoria County, for an example, I think she mentioned you have 30% African-American population. And the question would be, are the lenders' customer base, is that comprised of 30% African Americans? Probably not. And especially when it's regarding loans. And so this is an opportunity for them to try to make good on some of their community reinvestment efforts.
Absolutely. You know, I think some of the what we learned in the survey was issues of access to capital. Black businesses feel like they don't have access to institutional capital. And there's a number of factors that constitute access. One of them is relationship and exposure. So what happened today, you know, it's not a overnight thing. It's a marathon for sure. But it's a very significant step to allow for black entrepreneurs to put a name with a face, shake somebody's hand, express their desires and aspirations to a financial professional. Because at that point, I have a bridge that I can cross. And a lot of times, those bridges don't exist. Now, and as a result of today, we have some people we can hold accountable to. You know, we saw some people in this room representing logos and brands that we can engage in future days to say, hey, you know, we had a 75 to 100 people in this room, and, you know, you can't say all of them weren't ready.
Right.
And the ones that weren't, we got programming taking place here to help them get ready.
Right. Right. Last couple of questions. Let's talk about what black business owners should be thinking in terms of making sure that they are ready. One of our efforts over the last few years, especially since COVID, has been trying to bring people above ground. And by that, I mean there are a lot of businesses that have been in operation for a long time, but they don't have a relationship with the bank, and they don't file taxes, and they pay their employees with cash. They don't use W-9s. And so when money is available, like the federal government will come along and say, hey, we got some COVID relief money, or the mm-hmm. state or the city will come along and say, hey, we got some money that we're going to throw at you. And all you had to do in 2020 was make $1 less than what you did in 2019, and we got $5,000 for you, you know, something like that, right? And we have a number of people who don't qualify because they're not formally registered. Talk to me about that.
So we, you know, our community is not wanting for talent, not wanting for passion and energy. We have an abundance of those things. In many instances, we need the exposure and models of success, you know, that include formal processes, that include strategies, outreach efforts, customer service standards, inventory management principles. You know, business, we got a lot of hustle, but there's a difference between hustle and business. And so many of our opportunities are just on the other side of that, you know, organization. And it's so powerful that the Minority Business Development Center, the Black Business Alliance, can be here to help our businesses understand that. You know, initially, it's a little scary and shocking.
Well, you hear people say stuff like, well, I don't want the government in my business, or, you know, stuff like that. And it's like, well, no, actually, you do.
You do want people in your business. Like, literally, you literally want people in your business so they can pay you, so they can see what you got going on, how you can help them. And then they'll pay you. You know, it's scary initially because the light is shining on you. And then you got some wrinkles maybe in your shirt you didn't want people to see. But those wrinkles aren't going away by staying in the shadows. Yeah. You know what I mean? And, you know, platforms like this are so important to help sharpen the skills of our businesses, because this is the way we're going to determine success for ourselves. This is the way we're going to solve our own problems. Obviously, we believe in collaboration. We need each other. But we're determining for ourselves. Self-determination is a primary source of our success. And, you know, we're proud, the Office of Minority Economic Empowerment, we're proud to be able to support and continue to see the things happening here.
Matt Simpson, hey, thanks for stopping by the studio.
Absolutely. Appreciate you.
Appreciate Matt Simpson stopping by from the State Department of Commerce. And we also appreciate LISC. LISC giving the Minority Business Development Center this week a $600,000 grant, $200,000 for the next 3 years. Founder and president and CEO of the MBDC, Denise Moore, says this grant will go a long way toward the MBDC helping small business owners and entrepreneurs. Now to my conversation with Antinobi Evans. She is starting a distributing business in the medical field, and the name of her business, Avenue Surgical Instruments and Supplies, LLC. She is starting this business because she says there is a problem in our healthcare industry, and she's going to tell us about it. Hey, thanks for stopping by the studio.
Hello, hello. Our problem here in my community in the healthcare field, me being in the healthcare field for over 15 years, I have seen firsthand how when ordering supplies, we have to order far away. We have to order far away. We have to check out the prices if, you know, it's affordable. So sometimes we don't have the supplies that we need for surgeries, for appointments. And so we would
Let me interrupt you. Give me an example. Give me a couple of specific examples. What supplies are we talking about?
We're talking about the surgical supplies for surgery, say eye surgery, because I was in, you know, that department really for a very long time. And so we just don't have that pre-op or post-op, or even during a surgery, like a N95 mask or a non-breather mask. We didn't have, you know, the IV start kit. We didn't have the incubation, you know. We didn't have those things, which are needed, which is very important. So we would have to do alternatives, you know, for those patients, to where we would have to get supplies. Okay, it's not what we need, but let's use it and make it work. You know, because we don't have it available.
So you had to MacGyver some stuff?
Yeah, they have to, you know, to go and look on the shelf and see, you know, well, this is close to it, you know, because they really want to get this surgery done. But if that surgery haven't started, they will reschedule it. They would reschedule it, you know, and the patient suffers behind that. You know, like I said before, they would suffer behind it, either get sicker. And I have also seen some, you know, just don't make it, you know. So, and it's just not having, my thing is I want to fix that problem. You know, I want to be, my warehouse will be available here. Definitely want to start here in my community. So I want my distributing company to be here. So availability, we don't have to order out all the way to Wisconsin, Washington, D.C., you know, China. We don't have to do all that to where it supplies will be back ordered. You know, weather happened, you know, tornado happened. So things get back ordered. So we don't have them in time. So availability is one great thing, is what I want to have for our healthcare field here. As far as prices and everything, of course, you know, I want to have those prices to where, I mean, you won't question. I want to be that avenue for my healthcare industry here.
Now, the supply problem, was it related to that international deal like a couple years ago? You're saying this is irrespective of that?
Definitely. Definitely. They, like I said, it's nationwide. It's the healthcare industry everywhere, you know. So just not having that availability, you know, of those supplies ready for these surgeons.
Okay. Now, when we talk to entrepreneurs and they have these visions and these dreams, I'm always curious, what is your motivation to make you take this leap of faith? Because I'm looking at you, you're dressed like you just came from work, and you got a little jobby job somewhere, and you're getting paid, and you're making your bills, and you know, all of this. And so what makes you want to leap out there as an entrepreneur? Is the passion that strong, or is it, you know, something calculating where you're thinking, you know, this might be a good idea? Tell me what made you decide, you know what, I'm going to do this?
I would have to say, I don't know if you remember, as a child, it was a game called Operation. And you would have, you know, you would have to go in and grab the tools out, the instruments, and then, exactly. Yeah. fell in love with it. Really? I knew then that I wanted to do something with supplies and instruments and just in the operating room.
Really?
You know, so I knew then as a 10, 11 year old little girl. So I wanted to do that. And it's a love. And I was always told, you know, because I come from entrepreneur. My grandma was a beautician here, you know, well known, Aunt Tenobi. And so she always told me, if you don't have a love for what you do, it's not going to be anything, you know, nothing at all. So it's a love. You know, I care about patients. I care, you know, about people that come in that has a issue. They're sick, you know, and if we can do something to help you get better, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah. And, you know, I would have never thought that supplies was a factor that would impact somebody's health. We hear about occasionally a doctor or surgeon would make a mistake and then you got malpractice. Or we hear about sometimes, unfortunately, there's, you know, some bias or racism where they weren't fair in terms of how they treated somebody, or somebody doesn't get good service, or you're waiting a long time in the emergency room or waiting in the doctor's office for too long, or those kinds of issues, or they gave me the wrong medication, or they should have been doing this, or I'm going to get a second opinion. Those are usually the kinds of problems or issues that I'm used to hearing. I would have never thought that, okay, we need this particular kind of knife to cut into this person and we don't have it, so we're going to use this butter knife to cut this steak. You know, I didn't know that that was an issue, but it is.
It is. Physicians, surgeons have a thing, they have preference cards, and they let the inventory people know, this is what I want for this surgery, this specific. I don't want, nothing else will really work. This is what I want, you know. So, and the inventory, you know, it has under that umbrella is cost. Service being treated, you know, in the medical field, of course, it has a lot to do with cost, insurance, and all of this stuff. And so I feel as well, if I can help in that area, don't worry about paying so much for these supplies. You know, that won't even, then you can focus more on this patient. I want to be that part too, to where I can cut some of that cost. Starting here in my community, let me start here. So it has a lot to do. They want specific things, but how much does it cost? Inventory management. Well, we got to see how much this is. That, but it's, they want specific things for their patients, and that's not always what it is.
Yeah. And so you're here at the Minority Business Development Center. We're here to assist you. What's your time frame for this? 2 years, 5 years, 7 years, 3 weeks?
Well, I've been in business since 22. January 22. So I'm ready. I was blessed to get the RISE grant to, you know, help me get startup money. And I got the supplies. You know, I know what they need because I was, you know, right there on their floor. So I have it. I'm ready, you know. Okay. So I'm in business. I'm just pretty much waiting for them to see that Avenue is here. Avenue Surgical Instrument Supply, she's here. So, yeah.
All right. So you're in the process of making those connections with the area hospitals, with the area doctors and clinics, so that they can recognize and say, hey, let's buy from her. Let's purchase from her.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. So reaching out. I have reached out to some people, you know, the HR person and at OSF, you know, I have reached out to Carl Broman Hospital, who took over Unity Point. You know, reaching out to some of these single physicians, specialized physicians and everything. So I'm out there. But the thing is, they are so used to who they have been with. And they're like, do I want to change? Well, I'm used to this. So I'm trying to break through that barrier there.
That was going to be my next question. What are some of the challenges you face? African-American female entrepreneur in a space that I would imagine there aren't a lot of people who look like you who are doing this kind of thing.
Yes, definitely a big problem. A challenge. Let me say that, a challenge. Because there are you don't see, I haven't seen any distributing person in the medical field who has a warehouse, her own company. I have not seen that at all. So when they see that, and they on my website, you know, you see my pretty face, the bio, you know, so, and it has been looked at. It has been looked at. And I think that's where a lot of my no's come from, too. You know, she's African-American. Okay. So.
And so you think what? They may not be taking you seriously, or that you're not legit or something, simply because you're really?
I think, because I guess the trust, because like I said, they trust who they're with already for years. And then they see somebody else trying to African-American stepping out, doing what others have been doing for a while. You know, that's
but you have the same products.
The same.
You have, as a matter of fact, you probably have the right product based on what you were telling me earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Who they've been dealing with before probably may not have the steak knife, you know, and have a bunch of sharp butter knives, but you have the steak knives. You know what these folks need.
Mm-hmm.
So the glass ceiling, again.
Yeah.
Breaking through the glass ceiling.
Yeah. I'm still breaking through that.
Okay. Well, we wish you well in your endeavor, and we're hoping if anybody's out there listening, anybody connected to the medical field, anybody who is looking for quality goods and services, to contact Antinobi Evans. Distributing business is called Avenue Surgical Instruments and Supplies LLC. And she has a warehouse. It's out there, on Route 91?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, out there with all those other big old warehouses. All right, she knows what she's doing. She's been at this for a while. She used to win at the game of operation when she was a little girl.
Yes.
She rarely touched the side, right? So, no, in all seriousness, we wish you well. And we're just happy to get your information out there on our platform for whoever hears this. And, again, we always encourage people word of mouth. If you hear this broadcast and you are in those circles, share the word. If you want to come by here at the Minority Business Development Center, pick up some of Antinobi's business cards, take them out to your doctor or to your clinic and drop them off. She would greatly appreciate that. Give me some contact information in case anybody is out there who might want to touch base with you.
My email is avenuesurgical@outlook.com. My website is AVESURGINSTRSUPP.com. And my business phone is area code 309-857-3728.
Now, you're going to repeat all of that again,
okay,
in case somebody was trying to jot this down. All right, so here we go.
Okay, website is AVESURGINSTRSUPP.com. And my email address is avenuesurgical@outlook.com. And my business phone is area code 309-857-3728.
All right. Now, Antinobi, I've been asking you a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that you wanted to impart that we didn't talk about?
Let's see. I don't think so. I think we touched everything. I do want to put out there that I have talked with someone through the networking, through Doris.
Doris Simmons.
And she's a networking woman, and she had connected me with Iron Mohammed. And he had told me, you know, why don't you try to put other things on your website, not just the surgical stuff. And I did that. He said, and reach out to eye doctors and everything. And he said, you know, it's another minority who is a doctor here, Dr. Redding. And I said, I used to work with him in the eye center. He said, reach out to him, he'll help. And so I did that. And so Dr. Redding had told me, he said, Etanobi, I don't have those surgical supplies. I don't need those, but come in my office. I'll give you a list of everything that I have here. And I know you'll be able to give them to me. Mm. So that was a
nice icebreaker.
Yeah, that was a nice
start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real
yeah.
awesome. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. You should be. And you'll continue to be successful. Let's just put that out there.
Yes.
All right. We're putting it out there. You will be. I'll talk to you 5 years from now. No, here's what's going to happen 5 years from now. I'm going to need an interview, and I'm going to try and get a hold of you, and your secretary's secretary
yes.
will say, you know, she's in Aruba. Uh-huh. On vacation, and she won't be back for another couple of weeks.
Right,
all right.
Correct.
But you can talk to her assistant's assistant.
Yes.
All right. That's what I'm thinking. Uh-huh. Hey, thanks for stopping by the studio.
Yes. My pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to Dollars and Cents on WPNV. Dollars and Cents is sponsored by CEFQ, not a bank better. Dollars and Cents airs at 9 a.m. on Saturday and is rebroadcast at 6:30 p.m. on Sunday. Thanks again for listening.